And now they come to depart from each other. They had then differences of opinion concerning this man called Mark. Who was this Mark? We find that he was a son of a pious woman called Mary. You remember in our lesson when Peter was in prison, that when he was brought out of prison, he entered into the house of this woman called Mary. Who was this Mary? She was a sister to Barnabas. So Mark then, or surnamed John, he had to say uncle unto Barnabas. In this, I think, the flesh came in between these two brothers, Paul and Barnabas. Paul would not give in, and neither would Barnabas. See in this, that even if we possess grace, that we can have differences of opinion, and that the flesh can also rise up in anger, and we can depart from each other. And not all Christians can live with each other. We all have our natures. And likewise, these two disciples had their natures. And therefore, they departed from each other, and the sacred historian relates no more about Barnabas. But he takes up the journey of Paul and Silas. Silas, he was an eminent minister in the church at Antioch. He was a man that was well spoken of by all the brethren there. This man, Paul chose to go with him. And Paul, he did not go to the island of Cyprus because we find Barnabas and Mark went there. But he went to Cilicia and Syria. Syria is a country that lies northeast of Jerusalem. Its capital is Antioch. This country, Cilicia, lies on the east coast of the Mediterranean Sea and is in Asia Minor. Its capital is Troas. This city is the birthplace of the Apostle Paul. And now these two brothers were commended by the brethren unto the grace of God, and they set forth again on their journey. They come to the towns of Lystra and Derbe. These two cities, Paul and Barnabas had spoken the word of God in them. You remember that in the city of Lystra, they wanted to worship them as gods. And also, they stoned him and carried him out of the city as dead. But he got up again and went back into the city. This was at Lystra. He experienced here something as his master did, Christ. When he went up to Jerusalem, they all cried out, "Hosanna, Hosanna." And a few days later, they cried, "Crucify him, crucify him." He experienced something of what his master did. And now he went to these cities and again began to proclaim the word of God. He had established these churches, and he was filled with love to the brethren whom he had placed as elders and overseers over the churches. He did not just forget about these churches, but he carried them upon his heart. He continually brought them unto God in prayer. And in love to them, he visits them and gives unto them those things that the apostles and disciples had ordained at Jerusalem should be done in the churches. And while he was in Lystra in his first journey, while preaching the word of God there, God converted a young man by the name of Timotheus. Now, this young man had a God-fearing grandmother and a God-fearing mother. They were pious women. The one was called Lois and the other one Eunice. They had trained Timothy and brought him up and instructed him in the scriptures. And now Paul, he had heard what had taken place, and he was well reported of by the brethren in Lystra and Iconium. And he decided to take this Timothy likewise with him on his journey. The Jews there, they made such a commotion and stir, he took him and circumcised him, because his mother was a Jew and his father was a Greek. And after circumcising him and laying the hands upon him and ordaining him, that we find that Timotheus is spoken of quite often as a person that accompanied Paul and helped him in preaching and establishing the churches. Timotheus, he was the first bishop of the church at Ephesus. He likewise went with Paul and Silas. And there was another person that went along with them too. I would say, who is that? He is the writer, for we find him speaking of himself in this very chapter. It was Luke. There were four then that went on this journey. And while they were at Lystra, they attempted to go into Asia, but the Spirit of God gave them no permission to go there to preach the word. Where they had no permission, they decided to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit constrained them not to go. Seeing this, that they were led divinely by the Spirit of God, that it was the Spirit that guided them to the places to which they were to go. And now where they were forbidden to go to two places, you may be sure that Paul was very much exercised at the throne of grace, begging God to reveal unto him where he should go to. This Spirit restraining them from going to these places constrained them to go in a straight course to the city of Troas, a seaport town. And here Paul lodged for the night. While he was in this town during the night, probably not being able to sleep, praying and looking up to God, God gave him a vision. And there appeared unto him a man of Macedonia, speaking unto him and saying, come over and help us. For this man then was dressed in the clothes of a Macedonian, and the call for help was unto Paul a direction that God wanted him to go unto the continent of Europe to preach the gospel of Christ. They had not been there yet, and this continent was immense. There were so many cities there and so many people that God had people amongst those cities that had to be added to the church that was to be saved. And now Paul, immediately believing that the vision was from God, he had faith to believe this. The very next morning, they made preparations to sail across the sea into Macedonia. This voyage normally took 5 days, but They had the south wind with them, and in 2 days they were in Macedonia. This is a place where these people that dwelt there were descendants of Javan. It was part of the land of Greek, part of the Roman Empire. It received its name from King Philip Macedon. And they came with a straight course into Neapolis, and from Neapolis they came to the city of Philippi. Now, this was the chief city of that particular part of Macedonia. Now, the capital of Macedonia was Thessalonica, which was 70 miles northeast from Philippi. In Philippi, this city had been beautified by this king, and there dwelt a number of people. But there were very few Jews in this city. Normally, when Paul came to a city, he entered into the synagogue of the Jews and began to preach and to reason with them. But here there was no synagogue. And while he was in this city certain days, he found out that there were a certain group of women that went down to the riverside and held prayer and worshiped God. And on the Sabbath day, we find Paul and his company going down to the riverside with these women, and sitting down with them, he began to speak with them. Now there was a certain woman amongst them by the name of Lydia. She had come from a city called Thyatira. She was a seller of purple. Now, this city, Thyatira, lay north of another city called Sardis. It laid on an extensive plain. It was surrounded by a belt of mountains, and there were in that city about 1,000 homes. It was noted for a purple dye that came from that part. This probably Lydia sold, either the dye or she sold clothes made of this purple color. And now it is stated that this woman, Lydia, she worshiped God. Amidst this city, amidst all these people that were heathens, we find a woman, Lydia, knowing something about the God of Israel and worshiping him. And as she sat down with this group of women and listened to Paul speaking, a wonder happened to this woman. It is said in the Bible that as she was listening, the Lord opened her heart, and she attended unto the words that were spoken by Paul. She had worshiped God many times, but I do not believe that ever she experienced what she did at this present time. The Lord opened her heart. Not one of us, no human being in the world, can open their heart unto the Lord. Our hearts are barred. Our hearts are filled with enmity and rebellion and sin in the sight of God. It is only God that has the key to open the heart. And notice, as he opened her heart, he also opened her ear. This usually accompanies it. When the Lord opens a sinner's heart, the ear is also open to receive in the heart what it hears. Oh, what a wonder happened while Paul was speaking. He was teaching about Jesus Christ, how that God the Father had sent him into this world, and how that he had come to suffer and to die and to pay the penalty for the sins of his people. And as he was speaking, my hearers, the Spirit took of the word, entered into the heart of Lydia, and she believed what Paul was speaking about. It was a personal matter for her. It was such a wonder to her that as he was speaking, her heart was melted, was softened. And she felt an affection and a love going out unto that God, unto that Christ that Paul was speaking about. I wish you to take particular notice how mild and how gentle and how tender God worked in this woman. In the end of this chapter, we have a very different case. Here, the Lord opened her heart. What takes place, my hearers, when God opens the heart of a sinner? If he has ever opened your heart, then, my hearers, you have heard as you never have heard before. You have heard the voice of God speaking in the ministry or in the reading of the word. And you have been led to the party that is speaking to you. You have been brought away from all creatures, from the minister, or from who it may be that is doing the speaking, and you have been led up straight to him who is communing through that word to you. And as you hear, my hearers, your heart is melted. It is humbled. It is broken. It is contrite. And it is led to confess your sins and your iniquities. And you are led to believe that this God is a merciful God, and that he is ready and willing in Christ Jesus to forgive you your sins. You are encouraged to hope in the God of Israel. You are led to seek this God with all your heart and with all your soul. Oh, what a miracle this is, my hearers. And it may take place without anyone knowing about it. I do not believe that Paul knew that the Lord opened her heart until after he had been done speaking. And so it goes in an assembly of hearers. God, who has access to the heart, opens the hearts of sinners. May I ask you a question? A very important one. Has God ever opened your heart under the ministry or under the reading of his word and testimony? Never? Never experienced a softening, a feeling in your heart of love to God? And never were given to open up your heart unto God to confess your sins. And you never were led by the Spirit of God to feel and to believe that there was hope for you in God. Never under the reading of the word, has it never witnessed to you, has your case never been explained, have you never been given to believe that that was your particular experience and that you have to believe it whether you wanted to or not? That the Spirit so convinced you that what you were listening to was in your heart, that you had experienced it? Oh, my hearers, what a wonderful thing it is for God to open the heart. And let me say, he must continually open the heart, not just once, as he did by Lydia, but every time when we come under the word, God must open our hearts or they remain shut. Do you not experience that? What is your prayer when you come up? Is it not that the Lord would open your ears and open your heart to receive the word? You can't open it yourself. You're helpless in this respect. But if it pleases him, oh, what a blessing. How you are then brought so close to God, and how God seems so close to you. You forget everything round about you. And oh, how the heart is melted. How the words that come are so true, and you have faith in exercise. Oh, I wish that God would open the hearts of each and every one of my hearers at this present moment, and that your heart would also receive what I am trying to teach you, and that you would say true what he is saying. I have experienced at times. Oh, the Lord has made my heart soft. He has melted it into contrition at times. And when I have listened to the word, oh, how sweet it has been for me. It's been like Jeremiah said, when I found thy word, I did eat it, and it was to the joy and to the rejoicing of my soul. I wonder how many of my hearers ever had something like that. Oh, what a miserable way to come to church and to go away and not have our hearts open, not have our ears open, not have faith in exercise. Oh, how miserable it is. If you are a child of God and you come up to the house of God this way and you go home that way, oh, it's your complaint. I had nothing today. My heart wasn't open. My ears weren't open. Oh, everything seemed to be against me. But oh, what a blessing when he does open it. And you know, in the beginning of spiritual life, oh, the heart is so opened. Oh, it seems as if every sermon has something in for you. And when you sing so with life and feeling. Oh, the heart is so broken. You go in secret. Oh, you can pour out your heart unto the Lord so easy and so simple and so childlike. You know something about it? You ever had that? You may not think much of it. You may say, oh, you're talking about small things. Listen, there's no small things what God does. If Jesus once upon thee shine, even in this, then Jesus is forever thine. Believe me, my hearers, no one's heart is broken, no one's heart is melted unless God melts it. Oh, what a blessing. If under the ministry or under the teaching, God may use it for your comfort, for your edification, and for the upbuilding of your faith. And Lydia, her heart then was opened. And as Paul finished speaking, she probably went forward to him. Oh, she had such love and affection to this man that was speaking. And you know, those that are born of God, wherever they may meet another one that may meet their case, oh, they love that person. They can't do otherwise. If under the ministry of the word God may use to minister to your soul, then he will be your spiritual father. And you will go to him and confess and unravel unto him all the cases that you have within. And this is what Lydia did. She went to him and spoke to him. And as she spoke to him, he was so convinced that God had opened her heart, that God had blessed the word to her soul, there wasn't a doubt in his mind about it. And that's a blessing too. All my hearers today, you know, somebody comes forward and says, God done something here. Oh, we put a big question mark behind it most of the times. We say, what is it? But not so with Paul. Oh, he could believe it sincerely of this woman. And he took her and he baptized her. And all of her house likewise was baptized. And now she said to him, if you believe that I am faithful unto God, come into my house and lodge there. And she constrained them to come in. You see, my hearers, first her heart was open, then her house was open, and she invited them right in. She didn't stop to think, well, there's four men. How am I ever going to feed them men? How am I going to pay for it? No. Love overcomes all obstacles. And she took them in, and Paul, he lodged there with Lydia. Oh, what a wonderful thing that was for that woman, to have a servant, an apostle of Jesus Christ dwelling in your home. And oh, how she must have spoke with him and how he must have spoke with her. And my hearers, he could see that God had not sent him in vain. He had come into the continent of Europe, but here God had witnessed already. There was one that was converted. And my hearers, and we find that Paul remained in Philippi. And probably he went with these women continually down to the riverside to worship God. And as he remained there, we find that there was another woman in that city. And that woman, she was filled with the spirit of divination. As she was filled with a devilish spirit, the devil had possession of her. And she had that she could tell fortunes, that she could tell people what was going to take place, probably years ahead of time. And so many people resorted to her that the men that had charge of her, the masters, they made much money. They became rich in and through these things that she said. She was then a soothsayer. She was then one that was an abomination in the sight of God. For in Deuteronomy, God spake by the mouth of Moses unto the children of Israel that they were not to use their sons or their daughters to go through the fire, neither were they to use them for divination, neither were they to use them as witches or as wizards, because all these things they would find in that country which he was going to give to them. And therefore they were not allowed to do those things. And all that done so were an abomination unto God. But now this poor woman, she was possessed with this spirit. And as she followed Paul and Silas through the city of Philippi, this spirit spake and said with a loud voice, these men are servants of the Most High God that teach us the way of salvation. And this she done every day. Daily she followed them. And daily she had the same cry. You would say, well, that was good, huh? She was broadcasting to everybody who these men were. No. Paul didn't need anybody to broadcast who he was. He had come into the continent of Europe to invade Satan's kingdom, and he did not need an emissary of Satan to proclaim who he was. And Paul, he became grieved. Not only grieved, but he was filled with pity and compassion concerning this damsel. All he decided that he would deliver her from that spirit. Inwardly, probably, he was crying to God that God would give him that power, that he would be enabled to cast that spirit out of that damsel. And being grieved, she following him, he turned around. And he spake unto her and said unto the spirit, in the name of Jesus Christ, come out of her. And immediately the spirit came out of her that very hour. Oh, my hearers, take notice in this what the name of Jesus Christ means. Oh, it was in his precious name that the spirit of the devil had to come out of that woman. And oh, I would entreat every one of my hearers, oh, pray that Jesus Christ may come down into your heart with his spirit. For we all are possessed with the spirit of the devil. And if he does not dispossess him, he remains in us, my hearers. He may be in a moral way, maybe in a religious way, but we still have the spirit of the devil in us. All Paul commanded him to come out, and if Jesus Christ should command the spirit of the devil to come out of you, then his spirit will enter into you, and all what a change will take place. This damsel, she became a normal person again. She was like you and I. Before that, she had been a woman that could tell fortunes and had made an immense lot of money for these masters. But now, she was deprived of this. And these men that had her in charge, they became angry. Oh, they seemed that the source of their gain was gone. And what did they do? Did they go to the justice and to the magistrates and complain what Paul had done? No. No, my hearers. They were very crafty, these masters. They knew that if they went to the magistrates and the justice with that, that they would have the magistrates and the justice against them. But they went with the complaint that these men taught customs that the Romans were not allowed to receive. There was no one that was permitted to teach or to change any person that dwelt in the Roman Empire from their religion. It was contrary to the law of the Romans to do so. And if they did so, well, then they were liable to be put to death. And these masters knew this. And therefore they came with Paul and Silas, who they took hold of, who they dragged to the marketplace, and they complained to the justice of what these men were doing. And now, my hearers, these justice, they ordered them to be taken to the magistrates, which were the rulers, or which were the officers of the army, as the commentary teaches. It seems that Philippi was a city that was occupied by Roman soldiers. It had been taken in by the Romans, and they stationed these soldiers there to keep peace. And they had the charge of these affairs. And now when they brought them before them, these magistrates and the people, who all cried and shouted, made a great uproar, they took these men and they took their clothes off them, stripped it off them, and they ordered them to be beaten as vagabonds. They were then whipped with cords which had rods on them. This was one of the three times that Paul speaks about that he was whipped with rods. So they beat him severely. You know, under the Jewish law, they were not allowed to beat anybody any more than 40 times. And usually they only did it 39 times. But here, they were beaten any number of times. And after they had beaten them, they took them to the prison. You would think after beating them that would have been sufficient, but no. They took him and cast him into the prison, and they told the jailer that he should keep them secure. And he, seeing that the magistrates were filled with anger and resentment at these men, and he, willing to please them and to be in their good favor, he took them and he cast them into the dungeon, into the inner prison, a place that was filled with mud and filth. And he put their feet in the stocks, and there Paul and Silas were in the dungeon of this prison. All because what? Because they had done good. Because they had cast a devilish spirit out of a woman. And now, my hearers, my time is gone again. I don't know, I think I'll have to shorten my lessons a little, because I don't seem to have enough time to explain it. Now, these men in this prison, you would think that they would be despondent. Suppose you and I had to go into a prison for something like that. What would you and I do? I'm sure we'd be so cast down, so despondent. I'll just speak about myself. I think if I ever got out of that prison, I'd never say any more about Jesus Christ. I'd run as fast as I could where I could go to so that they wouldn't trouble me anymore. But not these men. Oh, no. Oh, God was with them in this prison. God encouraged these men in all the work that they were in. And while they were in prison, my hearers, we read that they prayed and they sang songs of praise unto God. Oh, that teaches us, no matter where we may be, in what position we may be, prayer is always necessary. Oh, they prayed unto God, and they sang. Maybe they sang a song of David. Maybe they sang one of their own songs. But they were singing to the praise and to the glory of God in the midst of this dungeon in the darkness. And my hearers, the prisoners in the prison, they all heard him singing. I can imagine they were wondering what was going on in that dungeon. They heard him singing to God. And my hearers, what took place? I can't go on. It's 3:05. I'll get in trouble with the other teachers. The Lord willing, next week, I'll continue from this point on what happened at this critical moment that they were singing and praying. You'll forgive me, my hearers. That's all for today. Because of Esau. Joseph, likewise, he had many prophetical dreams. The butler and the baker had dreams which Joseph interpreted. In various places, we read of different ones that had dreams. Here Joseph received a dream from God. And we take particular notice in this dream that his name was known in heaven. Joseph, he is called, thou son of David. What a blessing if our names are known in heaven. Fear not, the angel said unto him, to take unto thee Mary, thy espoused wife. I believe where this man must have been troubled and so concerned what to do with Mary that this took all his fears and all his troubles away. I don't know of any individual here has ever been in trouble, has ever been in soul trouble, has feared that the work that God has begun is not his work. Oh, the devil comes so many times and proves to us in so many ways, and we consent and believe him more than we do God, that the work isn't genuine, that it isn't God's work. And when it pleases God to come to us with, fear not. Oh, what a wonderful word that is. You know, the children of God are children that fear. There are so many Christians today, they don't have any fear. They believe and they think they're on the way to heaven. Fear, doubt, they know nothing of. But God has scattered so many fear nots in his precious word for those fearing creatures. Joseph, I believe all his fears disappeared.
All his troubles departed from him, for he believed the message that the angel brought to him. He received faith. And what a wonderful thing it is to receive faith, to believe what God is speaking unto us. And we find that Joseph was given to know the reason why that Mary was in this state and in this condition. It was from the Holy Ghost. You see in this, my hearers, that Mary had a revelation, but likewise Joseph had a revelation concerning this child. May I ask you, have you ever had a revelation concerning this child, Jesus? It's necessary for each and every one of us to have a revelation from heaven concerning this precious Christ. These revelations that Mary and Joseph had, they were not contrary to each other. They did not jar. They were the truth that God revealed unto them. And after this, we find that Joseph took Mary to himself. And Mary, she had also a wonderful revelation from heaven that she was the virgin chosen by God for this particular reason. And that the Holy Ghost would come upon her, and that which would be born of her would be called the Son of God. This conception, my hearers, is a mystery. As the Holy Ghost hovered over the earth, before this earth was created, it was nothing else but chaos. And the Spirit of God hovered over the waters, so the Spirit of God came down and hovered over the virgin and over her womb. He sanctified this womb. God himself took possession of it. God himself instilled life into this womb. He formed the body of his dear son Jesus therein. It was sanctified and kept by God himself, so that this conception was without sin. An unnatural conception, but it was a conception from God himself. Therefore, this precious Jesus came into this world without sin. He became incarnate. He took upon himself a human nature, but he still remained God himself in person. And now you may be sure that when Joseph took Mary, his wife, to him, they must have had a wonderful communion with each other. Don't you think they did? Don't you think she related to him just what the angel had said to her and why that she was this way? And don't you think Joseph told her the dream that he had? Oh, what union and communion they felt with each other. They were united by the Spirit of God in love and in affection, and they were united to God himself by his Holy Spirit. This union, this communion, is still to be found in the Church of Christ today, where God begins a work of grace in a sinner's soul. That experience is recorded in God's precious word. Their experience corresponds with the word. And wherever a soul is born again and receives